Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, Remote Monitoring Technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello everybody, my name is Cesar Abate and this is the Construction Industry Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you as you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're looking to start your career, to improve your professional knowledge, or if you're a construction project or business owner, the show is for you. Today, I have a show full of goodies for you. I will talk about our growing construction industry podcast community, announce the winners of the two Amazon gift cards I gave away, and I'll have a great interview with Cornelius Fischner, who will tell us all about the PMI and the Project Management Professional Certification. Enjoy. My friends, I am super stoked and excited about this episode today. Now, if you're counting, this is episode 17 of the show. 17 episodes. When I look back, it's amazing to me that the journey that I've been on. Just to cover some of the topics that we talked about here on the show, just bear with me here. We talked about social media for construction, the Sydney Opera House, Universal Design, web-based tools, the Construction Management Association of America. We talked about a little tool called Evernote for how you can use it as a construction professional. We talked about the remodeling industry, the Construction Marketing Association. We talked about LinkedIn for construction professionals. We talked about, you know, my area here, which is time-lapse photography for construction. We talked about blogging and how it's powerful for construction professionals. We talked about the lowest bid problem. And if you want to learn more about that, you have to listen to the show. And we talked about the Canadian Construction Association and using YouTube for marketing construction services and products. We talked about websites such as Buildipedia.com and Pinterest.com. And on the last episode, we talked about construction bonds. Now, it's amazing to me the journey that I've been on in particular here. And I'm very thankful to you for listening and to my guests for being on the show and participating and sharing their knowledge and their brains with us here. And I think that and more than anybody else, I've learned a lot in the last 7 months of the show here. But one of the best things that has happened in the last few weeks is that some of you have reached out and connected with me. For me, it was great to learn more about you and what you do. I checked some of you guys' websites and the companies you work for, and we connected on a more personal level. And I think this is going to be by far the best benefit of this podcast, both for you and for me, is this connection that we're going to have with each other. My connection with you and our connection with one another. And in this day and age of social media and the world being connected, it's very, very powerful to have a network of people we can call friends who are in the same area or in the same type of business. And just as an aside here, you will notice, hopefully, in the next as we move forward with the podcast, that the episodes will I'm going to keep pushing to take this show to the next level, and this is a result of me joining a group of podcasters that is organized by my friend Cliff Ravenscraft of PodcastAnswerMan.com. And he has a show on podcasting that I listen to, as you know, being a podcaster that I am. And he grew quite a community of people like me who have podcasts and want to improve their show and take it to the next level, as he says. So he created this online community called the Podcast Mastermind. And you can go to the podcastmastermind.com and learn more about that. I'll have a link on the show notes. But basically, it's a group of people that are in the same kind of business or a hobby, right? Some people podcast as a hobby. And they just encourage each other and they push each other. They keep each other accountable for their goals. And I think my goal here is to create the same sense of community that Cliff has created around the topic of podcasting. My goal is to create a same sense of community around the topic of construction. Okay, construction is so broad. It's so hard for us to relate to each other when we're not working on the same project. And I think there's so much knowledge that we can share with one another, and we only have to gain if we connect. So my goal of creating a sense of community around the construction industry podcast is slowly becoming a reality. And precisely because we managed to connect in the last few weeks, and I think I was really excited about this. Now, part of this community building campaign involved me giving away a couple of Amazon gift cards. And sometimes I think it takes a little bribe to get people to give feedback, and in a way that it was going to be useful for me. And I wanted to learn more about you, where you work, and you know, your position, and how you found the show. And so I set up a contest, and you guys answered a quick survey for me, and I selected two random entries to be winners. The first entry was after the announcement I made on the show. I think it was two or three episodes ago. And then I made a similar announcement on my mailing list, to people there on the mailing list who might not be listening to every single episode. So I gave away two gift cards. And the winners are, drum roll, I should get that sound effect here. First winner is Mr. Craig Adams. Okay, he's the senior scheduler for a company called Pro Schedules. And you can find more about Craig and his company at www.proschedules.com.au. He's a scheduler that works out of Melbourne, Australia. And Craig is a great guy. We've been talking to each other by email, and we might even try to collaborate on a couple of projects that might take place there in Australia. And it's really cool. Craig, thanks for listening. I know you're listening right now. So thank you so much for listening. And you're the first to answer the questions, and therefore you made a big impact on me there. The second winner is Mr. Richard Slawinski. He's the project manager and director of field operations for a company called CNC Construction Management. And the link is kind of lengthy. It's ccconstmgmt.com. That's the link to his company. And again, I'll put a link on the show notes for this episode. So if you go to remontech.com/episode17, episode 17, you will find the link there to Richard Slawinski's company. Thank you so much. I contacted you guys by email about your gift card, so we'll just take it from there. And I'd like to mention a couple of other people here that did answer the survey. And one of them is Sean Mahoney. He's the president of a company called South of Rose Communications, and he handles PR for top green tech infrastructure building materials. And the other person that I'd like to say hi to is a person named, it's a guy named Walter Gianfaldoni. Okay, he is a commercial director for Bitomac. Now, the cool thing about Walter is that he's actually from Brazil, like I am, and he wrote me in Portuguese, which is really cool to get some feedback in Portuguese. So, Walter, obrigado por escutar o programa e mantenhamos-nos em contato, tá bom? For those of you who don't speak Portuguese, I basically said thank you and let's stay in touch. And I'll have a link to his company's website too. It's but just in case you can't go to the website, the company link is betomaq.com.br. So, to all of you listening, and especially to you who have written me, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate it. Now, as I want to build up on this momentum and create even more a sense of community here. So, as a way to make it even easier for you to get in touch, you can now leave a voice message right through the website. Okay, so if you go to constructionindustrypodcast.com, you'll see there on the right-hand side of the page, right at the edge of the monitor there, you see a little tab that says send voicemail. So all you need to do, okay, if you have a microphone built in on your laptop, or if you have a microphone plugged into your webcam, if you have a microphone, basically, a microphone-enabled computer, you just click there and you can record a voice message. Okay, and I will get it by email. So you don't need a phone. You just have to go to the website and click there. And when you do leave a voice message, just let me know who you are. And so, you know, your name and who you work for. And your, you might not want to say who you work for, but if you can, that would be fantastic. And where in the world you're speaking from. Love to know that too. And we can connect that way. You can also find me on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is at Cesar Abade, which is CesarAbeid. Love to hear from you there. Now, for today's fantastic, fantastic guest, and I mean it. Cornelius Fischner, PMP, or Project Management Professional, has been working as a project manager in his native Switzerland, Germany, and in the USA for the last 18 years, and received his PMP credentials in April of 2004. He has led projects for financial services provider, a management consulting company, a national retailer, and an internet startup company. Currently, Cornelius helps project managers to stay on top of the industry with his free project management podcast, of which I'm an avid listener, and he helps them pass the PMP exam with a PM Prepcast, which we'll cover in the interview. His passions are the project management methodologies and PMOs, which stand for Project Management Office or Program Management Office. There is an ongoing argument as what the P stand for. So I don't think there's an official meaning for the P. It's either project or program. Now, Cornelius was the 2007 chair of the PMI Orange County chapter. And he now lives in Silverado, California, USA, with his wife, and according to him, their four computers. Now, as you may know, I also hold the PMP certification, and it was using Cornelius' materials that I prepared for the exam. So we will talk about the Project Management Institute and the Project Management Professional Certification on the show today. Now, the PMI is an organization that tackles project management in general, not just construction, right? And in fact, their IT community is huge. But they do have a new, relatively new subdivision, or they, as they call it, a community of practice that is dedicated exclusively to construction project management. I am a member of this construction community of practice, and so you need to be a member of the PMI, and then you can join their communities of practice that way. You don't need to have the certification to join the PMI, by the way. So I will be, in fact, I'll be addressing this construction community of practice on the topic of remote monitoring and the use of cameras as a tool for project management. And this will be a special webinar that I will conduct for this community of practice of the PMI on Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. And I'll have a link to the PMI and to the construction community of practice on the show notes. And I think you have to be a member of the construction community of practice to attend the webinar. But in any case, if you are a member, I'd be happy to have you attend the webinar. Now, here's my interview with Cornelius Fischner, PMP. Enjoy.
And now, our feature segment.
Hello, Cornelius. How are you?
I'm very well. Hello, Cesar. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast. And I have to say, it's an honor to have you on the show.
No, thank you. You're making me blush.
No, just so the audience knows, it was because of you and your product that I have my PMP certification. And ever since I took your preparation material, just became a fan of you and what you do, and I've been following you around, and when you said you'd be on the show, I was just thrilled. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So A lot of the people in our audience are in construction management, as we were just talking about this before we started the recording, and they probably have heard of the PMI, but that's about it. So could you give us just a little background on the Project Management Institute, the REACH, the mission statement, things like that, so right. The audience can learn more about it.
Absolutely, yeah. So PMI is the Project Management Institute. They were founded in 1969, so it's quite some time ago, and they are located in the United States in Pennsylvania, but they are really a global organization. The Global Operations Center, as they call it, the GOC, is in Pennsylvania, but PMI really lives because we have local chapters all over the world. And no matter pretty much from where you listen to this podcast, there will be very likely a local chapter in your state, in your country, in your region that has project managers coming together and meeting all the time. Now, let me see if I can get the mission statement from PMI again. Let's see. I remembered it before we started the interview because I was thinking about it. And now, of course, I'm blanking here. Making project management indispensable for business results. That's it, I believe, right? With the idea being that what businesses usually do is operations, so day-to-day work, repetitive things like, you know, building bicycles or, I don't know, selling ice cream. But if you want to turn your business around, if you're trying to get into some new area, then you have to start up a project and you have to make a change in your business. But, of course, everybody who works in construction knows that everything that we construct is a project in itself. A house that we build is a project. A bridge that we build is a project. The pipeline we build is a project. Even though, you know, we build houses every single day of the week. The houses are different. They're in different locations. They have different specifications and requirements. So that's what PMI is trying to show. In order to have good business results, you need to have project management. Now, PMI is very strong in two areas, mainly, and that is in the area of certification, and I believe we're getting into that more in detail later on, but they also have a lot of standards, and they have standards for project management in all kind of areas. And I believe there is even what they have, I'm checking this here on their website, their primary standard is called the PMBOK Guide, the Project Management Body of Knowledge, sort of the big Bible of project management. And for that, they also have a construction extension to the PMBOK Guide. So specifically a project management framework that is focused at the construction industry. And that was published in its second edition in 2007. So pretty up to date, but I believe it's probably going to be updated relatively soon because the new version of the PMBOK Guide is out at the end of this year. So everything will probably be updated to that new version there.
Okay, great. And the PMI is also, there's some subdivisions, I guess you could call them, they're called the communities of practice. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Now, the difference between the communities of practice and the local chapters is the local chapters are local. Mm-hmm. They are in your backyard and you can go and meet people in person, and they have dinner meetings. And usually at the dinner meeting, they serve chicken for some reason. It's called the PMI chicken. And so it's a local organization that is led and managed by people local to your area. And the communities of practice, that's really PMI's way of bringing in everybody from around the world. So this is a virtual community of practice. And these communities of practice, they don't have, you know, set meeting agendas or things like that. They are really here to promote a specific practice. Like, I believe there is a construction community of practice, there's an IT community of practice, there is a pharmaceuticals community of practice. So here we're not talking about regions, here we're talking about verticals. Here we're talking about pharmaceuticals, construction, we're talking about industry-specific community of practices.
Okay. Great. And for you to participate in the local chapters and in the communities of practice, you need to be a member. So
yes, okay. Yeah. You first of all have to be a member of the global organization. So you have to join PMI itself, the global organization. And then based on that, you can join a local chapter and communities of practice. I believe, don't quote me on this, the original idea was that once you are a member of PMI, you can join any community of practice at no additional charge. However, the local chapters, they are local organizations in your area, so you're going to have to pay an additional fee, membership fee, to be a member of that local organization.
Yeah, that, I think that's right, because I'm a member here at the Southwestern Ontario chapter, and as far as communities of practice, I'm a member of the construction community of practice and also the marketing community of practice. Mm-hmm. Very good discussions there on the forums. I recommend people check it out. Now, the other thing that PMI is big on is on the certifications. So what are the certifications that they offer?
Right, that's a confusing subject, to tell you the truth. Okay, let me just read them to you, right?
Okay.
You'll see what's confusing. Certified Associate in Project Management Professional, Program Management Professional, PMI Agile Certified Practitioner, PMI Risk Management Professional, and the PMI Scheduling Professional. So they have six different types of certification. And most people look at this and they go, what? And frankly, yes, it is confusing. The really big one that they have is the project management professional. That is their number one certification. And the new one that they have just recently launched is the PMI Agile Certified Professional. Sort of in terms of numbers, right? The PMP, which is the big one, is they have 471,000 certified PMPs around the world. Now, here's the interesting thing. PMI membership right now is at 377,000. So almost 100,000 people more are PMP certified than are members.
That's interesting.
And then the numbers drop drastically, right? The second number is 16,000. That is for the CAPM. And then that's the certified associate. And then we have the PGMP and the scheduling professional and the risk management professional. These, they don't even reach 2,000, okay? Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is the new one, the Agile Certified Practitioner, only a few months old and already 517 people certified.
Wow. Okay?
So doing a big catch-up there. So from my perspective, right now, PMP is the primary certification, and the Agile Certified Practitioner, because Agile Project Management is really hot at the moment, that's the second one. And very soon, I would say within a year or two, PMI ACP will have caught up, will have, you know, overtaken all the other five certifications. It won't come up to the 470,000, but you know, it'll be up in the 20,000.
Amazing. Yeah, I listened to your podcast, by the way, and you had an interview there on this topic of the Agile when he was when they were rolling it out, and
yes.
People seem to be very excited about it. It doesn't really apply to what I do, but I can see how the IT community and the software development community would be very excited about this.
Exactly. Doing Agile in the traditional way on a construction project, I don't think it would really work all that well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of, oh, we've just built the third floor, but you know what? We're going to build three more. Changed our mind.
No.
I don't think that's going to work all that well.
Yeah. Scope is really well defined from the beginning, yeah. and contracts are given based on that, and it's written in stone, literally, actually.
Yep.
Okay. So it seems like the PMP is the flagship certification, I guess you would call it. So what are some of the benefits of having it? And you have it, I have it. So mm-hmm. how has it helped you?
Okay. today, the PMP certification, to have it, is really a rite of passage. If you look into monster.com and all the other online job portals, what you used to see, maybe about 4 years ago, they said PMP certification preferred. You know, you wanted to get a project management job, and if you had the PMP, well, that helped you a bit. Today, PMP certification is required. If you apply for a job and you are not PMP certified, if you apply for a project management job and you are not PMP certified, don't even bother, because so many other people are, and employers do much rather hire somebody who has the certification, who has shown that they have the experience in managing projects, that they have the theoretical understanding, that they were able to pass this certification test, that it's simply a must to have these days. So to me, that really is the primary benefit of having your PMP. Without it, you will not be able to get a new project management job in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say that this might not be the case for construction project managers, because one of the reasons why I'm doing this episode is to spread the word a little bit about the PMI within the construction sector. Mm-hmm. But it certainly would help you if you had it. You know, it would put you above your average construction manager if you have that certification. Because, as you said, Cornelius, it shows that you have the experience, you have the knowledge, you passed that very hard exam that you and I had to take, and it just shows people that you're serious about your career. Don't you think?
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Having the PMP exam shows that you know more about project management than somebody who doesn't, because the PMP certification isn't for life. PMI requires that you continue your education. If you don't, you will lose your certification status, right? So you have to earn what is known as professional development units, which is basically just a measure of how you progress in your education over time, right? So you have to continue to educate yourself, you have to continue to study, you have to continue to learn, and just by doing that, you know, you will remain at the top of your game constantly, right? And I agree with you, what you said, that probably in construction industry, you know, having the PMP certification may not be necessary, but it does put you above the average of the other candidates that are out there. The oldest question in project management is this: what's more important in a project manager? Is it industry expertise or is it project management expertise? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you ask 100 project managers this question, you will get 100 different answers. And I've pretty much done that. I've asked about 100 of them. And in the end, what I have come to understand is they're both important. You have to have project management know-how. You have to know how to manage a project. And on the other hand, you also have to have at least some industry expertise. Now, in construction, I can very well see that there is a higher requirement for you as a construction project manager to have industry expertise in whatever your team is constructing, right? Because there are so many pitfalls and things that can go wrong in construction. But let's take the example of the project manager of the 2012 Olympics in London, mm-hmm. right? This project manager probably has no experience in the Olympics. Maybe he or she was an athlete at one point, right? But as a project manager, probably no experience in managing other Olympics before that, because it's not really necessary to have that. This person has to be charismatic, has to know how to manage projects, has to know how to manage people. Totally different requirement. Whereas on a construction site, you better know what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, makes sense. And I'm sure you know, you agree with me there. Some individuals that are excellent, practitioners of their trade, but have no interest in managing projects or managing people, and that's fine. And on the other hand, you'll have people that excel in project management, even though they might not be the best at, you know, their trade, the best scientist or the best, you know, concrete mixer, let's say, but they
know how to motivate the people. They know how to show them where they're going. They can translate a vision of where this project is going and get everybody excited and make them walk in the same direction and turn the project into a success. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what if you have both, if you're a good professional and then you work on your project management skills, you become a very valuable professional,
right?
Because you'll be able to do both, and that's one benefit I see of getting your certification. At least for me, it was, because you end up having to study things, that some aspects of project management that you may not have had to deal with in your career. It was the case for me, for sure. You know, like some of the risk management things that we had to study for the test. I had to actually study because we worked for a small business, and you know, we didn't have to have some of those things in place to manage our projects. And so the way I see it too, besides showing that you know project management, it actually helps you get more knowledge about project management as you practice for the exam.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. When I first started my journey into PMP, I was a, you know, sort of fly by the seat of my pants type of a project manager. I knew what I was doing, I was good at it, but I really didn't have the theoretical know-how to back me up and an understanding of, you know, what comes next. How should I do this? What are some of the best practices out there? What are some of the best approaches to manage a project? And once you take your exam, you know, you're suddenly going to go, how could I ever have managed a project without a work breakdown structure?
Oh my goodness, I can so relate to that.
Yes. These are the kind of things that you suddenly, you know, your eyes grow wide and you go, oh my God, why am I fighting for my life with every project if it's this easy and I could have used this tool and made my life so much simpler?
And it translates to your personal life too. Like I can't do anything without doing at least a mind map for something,
yeah,
you know? And it just helps you think about projects in that way, so you can break things down, so things are manageable, and it's easier to delegate and measure progress, and it just makes sense.
I agree.
Okay, now what does it take to get PMP certified?
How much time do you have?
as much time as you'd want, Cornelius. Yeah.
The easiest way to answer this question really is, I have had this question asked of me so many times that I went ahead and I created 7 or 8 videos, and these are available publicly on YouTube. Okay. And these are really broken down into 8 steps. Wait a second, let me quickly go over to the website where I have these 8 steps. We can quickly go over these 8 steps together here, but then I'd say let's put the link to this video into the show notes so that people can find it there, because, you know, YouTube links are like youtube.com/ and then an impossible number.
Right. Okay.
So here are the 8 steps. First thing you want to do, what you want need to assess your eligibility. Figure out, can I actually take the exam? Okay. Then you want to build a study plan. If you're a project manager, you know how important the plan is and an approach. So you want to make sure that you know, how am I actually going to do this? Right. You will need to understand more about the study tips and the techniques that you have behind all of this. You know, this, how do I approach this exam? So this is kind of all the basics. You know, you have to, before you can get started with the exam, you have to know the exam. Then you have to fill out your application, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. You have to find your study materials. So that's a big portion of this. Then, of course, you have to study. And part of that studying, this is really, you know, I can't really tell you how to study other than open your books and study them. But the biggest part of this really is you have to take sample exams. BMP exam is 4 hours long, 200 questions, multiple choice in front of a computer. It takes some practice to be able to do that. So you really want to have sample tests, sample simulators, and do that. Then there is a whole slew of activities you have to do in order to get exam day ready. You know, like 3 weeks before the exam, do this, 2 weeks before the exam, do that, etc. All right. So I have a checklist available for that. Mm-hmm. And then, well, you go and take the exam. And like I said earlier, you know, that's not it. Now you need to actually continue your education. And every 3 years, you have to get recertified. The only good news is you don't have to take the test again. So once you've taken the test, you can just recertifying by just doing continuing education. So that's sort of it on a high level. And the videos that I have about this, one video on each of these topics, they go more into detail. And in total, I think it's about an hour long, whole process, this whole video.
And they're on YouTube, so they're free?
They are on YouTube. Yeah, they're freely available.
Perfect. Yeah. So I guess those videos would cover what my next question was going to be, which is what's the best way to prepare?
Best way, I can give you a quick overview of that. Okay. I mean, it's not really all that difficult. It just takes a lot of dedication and focus, right? Mm-hmm. And this is all the part... step number two that I talked about here, build a PMP exam study plan, right? This is really part of that. So you have to have, or you have to make a goal that is achievable. In most cases, I suggest 10 to 12 weeks of study. Okay. Sure. And that means you study Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday a little bit. You have to, you know, pick a day of the week and say, I'm not studying on Thursdays, period, right? Take a day off occasionally. Every day you want to study about 1 to 2 hours. And that means reading books, watching webinars, working with flashcards, whatever it takes, right? There are many, many materials that you can use in order to prepare. The PMBOK guide, that is the Bible that I mentioned earlier on, is really the basic study, well, not guide, but the PMP exam is based largely on this book, on this standard. So what most people do is they say, okay, the PMBOK guide has 9 main chapters. So every week I'm studying one chapter out of the PMBOK guide. Mm-hmm. And that's really the approach that I also recommend. You know, so in the first week, you begin by, you know, assembling everything that you have. And then in the second or third week, you start really getting into the PMBOK guide. And chapter by chapter, you move forward through the material. And you have auxiliary material, additional material, study materials that you buy, study guides, study books, maybe a video course along the way. And you go through the same material, right? So this week, we're talking about time, or we're studying time management, and I'm studying only time management, and I'm studying it in a PMBOK guide, I'm watching the videos about it, I'm reading my book about it, I'm just learning everything there is to learn about time management. And then next week we're moving on to cost management and to risk management, etc. So to me, that has always been proven a very good way of studying for the exam, because it does more than just prepare you for the exam. It also helps you to understand all these techniques, these best practices. And in the end, that's my goal. I want you to pass the exam, but my goal is also to help you to get a better understanding of the project management as a discipline, so that you can become a better product manager.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great answer. And I think maybe you should explain to people how you, Cornelius, help people get their certification. Because we mentioned this at the beginning, and we just kind of let it at there. So how do you help people pass? Okay. The
exam. In 2005, my wife made a mistake and she gave me an iPod for my birthday. And shortly after that, I realized there is no project management podcast out there. So just like you have a podcast for the construction industry in 2005, I started a podcast for project managers. And that's also when I joined PMI. I got PMP certified. I began teaching a little bit on the side. And then I decided, why don't I take my experience of PMP preparation, my experience of doing a podcast, and why don't I combine the two? Why don't I create a podcast for people who want to prepare for the PMP exam? And this is how it all grew. Today, it's no longer just an audio podcast, it's a video podcast. And people, let's see, 18,000 students have used it so far to prepare for their PMP certification. Yeah, makes me kind of proud looking at that number. Quite nice. So let's see, let's go back to the credential statistics here. So 471,000 have passed the exam, and 18,000 of those are thanks to me.
That's amazing. That's you should be proud of yourself.
That's roughly 5%? No. 47, 18, yeah, about 4%, something like that. Okay, not a large number if you look at that.
No, it is large. And I am one of those 18,000, and I usually do not promote things on this podcast. I can mention a product, but this is one that I have no problem promoting, because there are so many ways that people can prepare for this exam, and they pay for boot camps, and they spend a lot of money to get coaching and to get boot camps, and what you provide is the value is just unbelievable. I think it's over 40 hours of video training, and you take that PMBOK guide, which is very dry, and you just kind of bring it to life. So you actually it makes it interesting to read it, because the way I did it, I would listen to one of the episodes or watch one of the episodes, and then I would read the PMBOK guide on that topic, and it would just make sense. You understand? So if you're listening and you're thinking about getting this PMP certification, this is the tool and the study material that I would recommend you get. It worked for me. I passed it on the first try. And ever since, I'm just telling people whenever I can to use Cornelius' material for this. And thank you for doing it. And it really, really helped me.
Right. Thank you. Very welcome. And if people are interested to learn more about that, and we have to do full disclosure here, because next to being a student of mine, you also chose to join our affiliate program.
Yes.
So you not only recommend it to people because you like it so much, you also earn a commission. They can go to learnpmnow.com. That's learnpmnow.com, all in one word.
Thank you for that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was recommending to people before I knew I could be an affiliate. So why not? It's a fantastic product. Now, before we go, just so people have an idea of how these questions are on the exam, can you give us some tips on how to select the correct answer on PMP questions?
Yes. Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's a 4-hour long exam, and in this time you have to answer 200 questions. So, purely from a time perspective, you have 1.2 minutes to read the question, read the four answers, A, B, C, D, and make your selection. So it's really multiple choice. So multiple choice techniques is really what you want to apply here. And of course, next to that, you also have to have project management theory know-how and applied experience know-how. And the number one thing that I always tell people, practice. So, get a simulator somewhere and do a few simulated exams before you do them. But in order to select these, there are a few interesting techniques. The first one is, of course, the most obvious one. Read the question, right? And read the question completely and write and make sure you understand what they are asking in the question. Don't read any of the answers. Just read the question and then think to yourself, okay, what should the answer be? Then, once you have decided, okay, the answer has to be whatever, look through A, B, C, and D. And most of the time, the answer that you have in your head has actually shown up. It's right there.
Perfect.
Second option is do it the other way around. Read the answers first. You know, sometimes the answers are very short. You know, they're just one word. So that makes it easy for you to quickly scan the four answers, A, B, C, D. Now you know what the possible answers are. Now you can read through the question and you will instantly, usually, come up with the correct answer. The P&P exam, however, is such that, you know, project management is not always black and white. It's not always right or wrong. You know, you could do things this way or do things that way, and both are right. But the PMBOK guide, this Bible, has specific ways of approaching things. And the P&P exam is based on the approach of the PMBOK guide. So you have to follow PMBOK guide processes. Still, you know, there are gray areas. Right. So you might end up with going, B and C are right. What do I do now, right? It's really thinking about, okay, what does the PMBOK guide say? What is there? What have I learned in my studies? And which one of these two answers is more PMBOK guide aligned? Mm-hmm. And that's the one that you need to choose. Mm-hmm. The most important tip, however, is don't leave any questions unanswered. So it's 200 questions. If you don't answer one, it's wrong, period. So if you don't select an answer for a question, it's definitely wrong. If you don't know, you know, it could be A, it could be B, well, make a selection. You know, guess, toss a coin, do whatever it takes, select one. But don't leave it unanswered, because there is no penalty for getting it wrong.
I see. Perfect. And those are great tips. And if you're thinking of taking this P&P exam, I recommend you can get in touch with me using my email address, feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com, or you can go to the link that Cornelius mentioned, learnpmnow.com, and you'll find everything you need to know there and more. Cornelius, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy
guy.
Welcome. And as I told you earlier, it's a pleasure and honor talking to you. And I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
All right, Cornelius. Thank you again. So that's it for today. Thank you once again for listening to the Construction Industry Podcast. Construction Industry Podcast is produced by Remontech. Remontech provides remote monitoring for construction projects. You can visit the podcast website at constructionindustrypodcast.com and subscribe to the show there. It's free. We are also listed on a number of podcast directories such as iTunes and BlackBerry Podcasts, meaning you can subscribe there and listen to the show on the go on your smartphone. My name is Cesar Abate. Until next time.